Let's pray. Lord of peace, on this silent and holy night, we pray for peace to fill our hearts, to fill our homes, and that the world let the light of Christ's birth shine, brightly dispelling the darkness and bringing harmony to all that hear the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we get started, just wanted to let you know that we are going to have a standalone service for New Year's Eve next year, 10 o'clock, next week at 10 o'clock. And it's going to be a lot of, the music will be Christmas hymns, Christmas songs, Christmas carols. So please join us for that. And following that, we're going to do a rather lengthy series on the life of David. Probably shouldn't have undersold it that way. It's a really good series on the life of David called Why Do I Do What I Do? And it explores the life of David with all of his ups and downs and all arounds. So I think you'll enjoy that one as well. So my question, I've been wondering, why are you here tonight? I mean, I don't mean why are you here. I mean, or why are you here? I mean, why are you here? What's inspired you? What's called you, perhaps, or maybe even nudged you into come to worship on this particular night? Is it because this place is your place? If the doors of Faith Church are open and the people are gathering, you're here. Church is a part of your family. It's your routine. It's your life. You simply can't imagine being anywhere else on this Christmas Eve other than in this beautiful space with all of us. Or, just between you and me, are you here because you're visiting family? I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody. Visiting family, or are you a college kid or young adult back home again, and your family expected you to come with them? You did not want to start a family feud. Certainly, at Christmas, you haven't got your presents yet. So here you are. And you figure, it won't be awful. The music is always amazing. I mean, look at these people. Was that great or what? The candles at the end are going to be lovely. You know it. But you know they know you're primarily here to keep the peace. Or have you come to worship this evening because you grew up going to church on Christmas Eve? Maybe group worship isn't no longer a part of your regular weekly life, but there's just something about this night that draws you back in. It fills you with good memories of Christmas's past. It reminds you what used to hold meaning in your life, which was once what gave you your frame of reference. Maybe you're here just because you're searching. You have a deep sense or a deep hope that there's more to life than only what you see around you, and so that you have come. And finally, I imagine a lot of you are here in worship on this Christmas Eve because you're lonely, or you're grieving, or just feeling a little lost. On this night of all nights, you need to be amongst people. You need to be amongst any people in a safe space, a holy space, a space in which you can just breathe. Are any of these reasons why you were here in this place on this holy night? For some of us, I imagine it's a mixture of several reasons that I brought up, all rolled up. Whatever the motivation, whatever has summoned you into this time of worship, at some level, it probably has to do with that baby. I don't care which kid or grandkid it was, whenever they encountered a creche or a nativity scene, whether it be in the living nativity or a regular nativity scene, they were always drawn to that baby every time. Yeah, there were cows and donkeys and stuff, but the baby. They'd approach it reverently, as close as kids can approach things reverently, and peek into it, peek into the manger. The baby drew them in. At some level, your reason for being here is intertwined with the desire to peer into that manger again, to see who that really is in that manger, and to try again to comprehend what that baby means for us and for our lives. Deep down, maybe that's the real reason you're here. It's one of the reasons I'm here. I'm here to look into that manger again. I'm here to imagine that baby's face. I'm here to ponder Mary's pain and exhaustion and joy as she pushed her firstborn child out into this world, perhaps into Joseph's awaiting arms. I'm here to listen for, to remember, to consider again the story of God's love becoming flesh. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I look around, I do not see a choir of angels singing or witness the heavens opening. Anyone? Okay. Most days, most times, certainly during this Advent season, when I look around, I see a world still very much saddled with prejudice, hatred, jealousy, selfishness. Let's face it, it's a world that is shrouded in darkness. If darkness is meant to suggest conflicts between nations or conflicts between people in the same nation, well, I see that darkness. If darkness is meant to suggest a sense of uncertainty, of apathy, cynicism, fear, I certainly see that darkness. And if darkness is meant to suggest a world in which no one sees each other very well, if at all, well then, I know I feel that darkness. So, given the sense of all that darkness, the awareness of the shroud of shadows that still it feels like it's cast over us, I find I just need to be here, in this place, on this particular evening, held within the quiet beauty of mystery with you. I need to, a few things. I need to, first of all, be reminded that as the Christ candle is lit again, as Mark lit that Christ candle this evening, we can celebrate all the hope and possibility that that simple act implies. I need to hear the lessons with the story again. Thank you for all the readers and people that have presented the scripture to us. I appreciate that. And then singing the carols of our childhood and breathe in the comfort of the words that we've sung tonight. And I need to hold that candle up near the end of the worship service, singing together, looking at your faces bathed in the light, when for at least a moment we are all being who we have been created to be at that moment. But most of all, I must gaze into that manger. I need to see it. I need to see that baby Jesus' face. I need to once again to be drenched in the mystery of the incarnation, which means that God had flesh on. He became a man like us, a person. The gift of God becoming Emmanuel, God with us, God for us forever. For when we peer into that manger, we believe. We trust that we don't really see the face of the baby Jesus, but we also see the face of God. When we look closely into that manger, we see the solid reality of God's love manifesting itself. That baby reminds us that God loves us and this world so much that God simply could not stay away. God had to come and be one of us, one with us, so that we would know once and for all that no matter how much darkness we see and how heavy the shroud feels, it will never overcome us. And it's not going to last forever. When we look into that manger intently, we are reminded that we worship a God who decided to get down into the dirt with us. Down into the messiness of this life. Down into the complications of this life. And we see that God knew we needed a God. We needed a Savior who had tasted the darkness that we have tasted firsthand. Because of Jesus, God knows what it is like to be born, to be pushed out into this world. Because of Jesus, God knows what it's like to be vulnerable, to be a child, to be weak in power and completely dependent on other people. And because of Jesus, God also knows what it is like to grow up, to hurt, and to die, to lose someone you love, and to weep. Because of the one we see when we gaze into the manger, we believe. And then we also trust that God knows all of what it means to be human, to be you and me. So when we stare into that manger, we see a God who is strong enough to be a baby. We see a God who is powerful enough to take on human weakness. We see a God who can hold all the oceans of the world, but who also squirms in the straw, cries for his parents, and looks curiously at that big brown cow. Any God who comes as a baby is a God who intends us no harm. No harm. Only life. So whether you're part of worship on this Christmas Eve out of curiosity or guilt, whether you're part of worship out of routine or a deep desire for meaning, whatever's called you to this set-apart moment, I hope you will take the time tonight to look again, to look into that manger, to imagine that baby's face, to pause and consider what it means that God did not decide just to simply act from above and save us. That God did not decide to swoop in with all the power and might to force us into redemption, change. Nor did God simply decide to create us and walk away, right? Leaving us to stew in our own brokenness and despair. Instead, the baby in the manger shows us that in Mary's body and with her consent, God became one of us, not in theory, but in truth, so that we might know forever how God embraces us and embraces this world. The world that God has always loved and is making new even still. If the baby Jesus, God became one of us, in that baby Jesus, he became one of us, one for us, and one with us. So we would see that indeed Isaiah's promise would come true. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. That proclamation is what we see when we look into the manger with awestruck wonder. That proclamation is what we celebrate and live. That proclamation is the promise that is already on the way. That proclamation is Christmas. So come, look, and be amazed. It's God in flesh for us and with us. Amen. Amen.